time has come to select one courageous young man and woman for the honor of representing District 12 in the 74th annual Hunger Games.
It's your first year, Prim. Your name's only been in there once. They're not gonna pick you.
Primrose Everdeen.
Here's tribute.
The movie adaptation of The Hunger Games opens this weekend. It's a book with a super tough, super cool heroine, Katniss Everdeen, who appeals to readers of both genders. I'm Veronica Rickert, and this hour we take a look at what it takes to make an epic heroine with our guest, the best-selling author Patrick Rothfuss, and literary critic and co-founder of Salon.com, Laura Miller. But first, I'm joined by Rob Ferret.
And we're here to ask you to invest 3 minutes of your time in your own future. Our goal is to ensure that the programs you value, including this one, are here on Wisconsin Public Radio when you want them. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Last hour, our goal was 35 pledges. We heard from 33 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Well, we've got another goal this hour. 35 pledges. Help us meet that important goal by making your contribution now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. Your gift ensures that the programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Contribute at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can't tell who's a public radio listener by what they wear or how they look. No, this group identifies itself by their interest in learning and their passion about the world around them.
Look in the mirror. That's you we're talking about. You are curious, you're informed, you're active, and you're aware. This, the kind of radio you expect here at WPR, it comes with a pretty steep price tag, and public radio listeners like you and me become public radio members to support it.
So take a moment now to become who you truly are, a public radio member. Make your contribution of any amount securely online at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Something very special going on this drive. Pledge any amount and you'll be entered in a drawing. It's a trip for two on a garden tour of London and the surrounding area with WPR host Larry Mueller. Find out the details and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, in just a moment, we'll be talking to Wisconsin author Patrick Rothfuss and Laura Miller, a literary critic from Salon.com, about the emergence of strong female heroines in film and literature. And discussions like this are possible because of your financial support. It's that simple. So give now to support the programs you listen to and you rely on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you pledge $120 or more, you can choose food for 40 as your thank you gift. This thank you gift will provide 40 meals to those facing hunger in your area. For more information about Food for 40 and to make your pledge, go to WPR.org or give a call at 888-202-2552.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get unbiased news, high-quality entertainment, informative, enlightening talk, and great music. It's quite a package all at one place. You get a rich experience, no matter where you tune in.
And this depth and this breadth is possible thanks to listener contributions. Make yours now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You'll enjoy WPR pledge-free after 1 o'clock this afternoon. But to make those pledge-free afternoons possible, we all need to pull together during these morning hours and get the work done. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps keep this pledge drive efficient. Thank you in advance.
We still need 35 pledges this hour. You can get us off to a start. 35 pledges by 11 this morning. Make your pledge. Make that first step at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Let me put out a special call out. Have you never, ever pledged before? Would you like to become a new member of Wisconsin Public Radio? I would like to see a whole bunch of new first-time pledges this hour. I think this is a good time to do it. Make your first ever pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you, Rob. We'll see you back here in a little bit. Well, the Hunger Games movie opened at midnight on Thursday. The movies are based on the best-selling young adult books by Suzanne Collins and tell the dystopian story of a teenage girl named Katniss Everdeen, who's forced to fight to the death with other teenagers in a revised reality TV show. Well, this hour, we find out what it takes to make a strong female heroine in film and fiction, and look at how heroines past and present have stacked up as well. And with me this hour are Patrick Rothfuss. He's a best-selling author of the Kingkiller trilogy, which includes the book The Wise Man's Fear and The Name of the Wind. Patrick is joining us from our Wausau studio. And also Laura Miller, co-founder and staff writer of Salon.com. And we want to know what your vote is for the coolest, strongest heroines in fiction and film. And how do you rate Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games? Is she a good example for young women today? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or you can send your email to talk@wpr.org or chime in on our Facebook page. And Patrick Rothfuss, it's great to have you with us again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Laura Miller, I am so glad you could join us today as well.
It's great to be with you.
Well, Laura, I want to start with you. I know that you were definitely not a fan of Bella Swan. That's the heroine of the Twilight novels. She was kind of too passive for you. What do you make of Katniss Everdeen?
Well, it's interesting to compare the two characters because Katniss is the most obviously strong in that she's strong in the way that we think of men being strong. You know, she's physically active. She can be violent when she's forced to be violent. She protects the people around her. But she's also kind of backed into doing all of those things. And the one thing that I will say on behalf of Bella Swan is that she has desires and she knows what they are and she goes after them, which in a way can be as transgressive for girls and women as sort of being very tough and knowing how to shoot a bow and arrow and how to take care of yourself out in the wilderness.
What do you mean by transgressive and how that plays out?
Well, I mean, I think that the idea of a good girl is that she doesn't really have any powerful desires or unruly desires. And I would say that that is true of Katniss. She gets a lot of things. She gets fabulous makeovers and the attention of two really cute boys without actually wanting any of those things and in fact, complaining about them through most of the book, that they're more than she can really handle. But, you know, on the other hand, I don't know that we would really want or be that crazy about a heroine whose dream in life was to have a fabulous makeover in the Capitol.
She's kind of surly and disaffected, but maybe that is something people can relate to, especially young women going through that phase where you do feel surly a lot. What do you think?
Well,
Kat?
She has a very good excuse for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Well, what do you think, Patrick?
Well, I think that your point's a good one where she's in, you know, a really unenviable situation here. If nothing else, especially towards the later books, it's probably fair to say she's going through most of it with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that she doesn't care too much about her hair in that situation is pretty sensible.
And what do you think of her as a heroine? As someone who writes female characters yourself, and I know you have passionate feelings about how we should be drawing female characters today, what do you think about how she comes off?
Well, it is interesting because she does have a lot of things that are admirable. She, you know, she's skilled. She's clever. Even before she's kind of backed into a corner and forced to be a heroine to protect people that are important to her, even before that, she's rebellious. She is breaking the rules to kind of survive in this bad situation. And that's really kind of a credit to the author who's created a world that is itself hostile even before she gets thrown into this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place where this young girl, in order to really ensure her family's base level needs, like just food, she's like breaking the law every day so that she can feed her little sister. And that's admirable.
Well, Laura, I know when the Harry Potter books were at their zenith, there were some op-ed pieces that came out, and some of them were critiquing J.K. Rowling for giving the lead to another boy character, and also for saying that the real heroine of those books was Hermione, and anyone with half a brain could see that Hermione was really the heroine of these books. I mean, what do you think about, you know, have we come into our own more with Katniss Everdeen, that maybe we're ready to put a female in the lead and trust that she can draw the attention of girl readers and boy readers, men and women?
Yeah, I think that the key thing in the series is the amount of action and the amount of violence, and the fact that that the romance element is really downplayed and relevant to, say, something like Twilight. So the romance repels boy readers, and action and violence are just a sort of a kind of intense premise like this book has is appealing to them as a general rule. I mean, we're not talking about all boys. And so,
thank you.
You know, the thing about this, this series that is so impressive is how it appeals to such a wide range of readers who have very different tastes. So that there are definitely some readers who really focus on the love triangle as kind of low-key as it is, and then there are other people who are just really into the competition in the arena, which has a kind of a video game quality to it, and you can really just focus on the action and how would you solve this particular combat problem, or, you know, what would be your strategy for getting supplies, or, and then other people focus on the social commentary, and then the whole thing is sort of tied up with this incredible, just crackerjack storytelling skill that is just fantastic to see. And I mean, people who read these books, I mean, the first thing they tell you is that they can't put them down.
And there is a lot of violence. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
They're extremely tightly written. I think that a lot of the credit just for the character has to go to the writing style. You know, she's a very believable character, and the world that's created and presented is a very compelling world. So it's a little difficult to just pull the character out and examine her all by herself, because she's really a product of her environment.
But part of the tricky thing has been, Pat, that in the past it was thought that male readers wouldn't read a book about a female heroine, that the female readers would read about a boy, but not vice versa. So I guess I'm wondering, as someone who I'm sure grew up reading fantasy and science fiction and probably books, you know, similar to this, would you have read this book if there wasn't so much, you know, action in it, if she wasn't also this person who could kick your butt?
Well, you know, honestly, I picked them up because people were saying they were great books. Admittedly, I'm not a standard reader, and I'm not certainly a young adult boy reader at this point. But, you know, I think the concept that, you know, young boys won't read a book with a female protagonist, that's one of those things that everyone says and everyone kind of takes as a truism. And, you know, there might be a grain of truth to it, but, like, I read Podcane of Mars when I was a kid, and that was an awesome book. I read Friday, admittedly, mostly because of the cover, but that was a great book. You know, and those both had female protagonists in them. I think, like, Tiffany Aching books by Terry Pratchett, you know, I think those are just good books for anyone. And, you know, I think it's the main character, even though she's a young girl, is going to appeal to any kid that is kind of bookish and smart enough to want to read a book on their own.
Yeah, you mentioned Tiffany Aching. Who is she? Tell us about that character.
Oh, man. It's one of my favorite characters by possibly one of my favorite authors, Terry Pratchett. And he's written a ton of gorgeous books. And in one of his longer series, there's called, the first book is called We Free Men. And it's fantasy. It's got a humorous element. It's nominally YA, but I've read the thing 3 times. I love it more each time. Mm. And it's got this smart, plucky, I mean, the little girl is 8 years old, works on a farm, knows how to make cheese and take care of sheep. She's incredibly complex and smart and capable. And to Terry Pratchett's credit, he makes the story work without like this looming threat of constant, you know, this harsh world, Tiffany Aching takes it upon herself to go out and fix something that's wrong because she knows that nobody else is going to do it. Mm. She's entirely self-motivated. And in that respect, she does definitely have one up over the protagonist of Hunger Games.
How do you see Denna in your Kingkiller trilogies? I've read the first two books, and she's a mysterious force. I know you can't give away too much there, but how do you see her as a heroine? Is she a heroine?
Well,
or is she a love interest?
Heroine is a real complicated thing in my particular story. She's probably the female lead, I can say that, but heroine is tricky. That implies that she's like pivotal to the story, but I also don't want to demote her to love interest too. That implies she's arm candy.
Right.
I will say this, that in some ways I'm most proud of Denna's character because it's very easy to write a character that everyone likes, but it's really hard to write a character that everyone has the same information about, and some people really like her and some people really don't. Kind of indicates to me that I've created somebody kind of real, because I can have somebody that I know and introduce them to a dozen people and they're all going to have different opinions about a person. I really didn't try to make her a heroine. I just tried to make her realistic.
I think that's true. I mean, she is complex. She's not someone that you just assume is going, you know, to be, like you said, the arm candy. But she's a person with a lot of depth there, I guess, that we haven't really gotten to the bottom of yet.
Yeah.
But Laura Miller, so we heard about Patrick's vote for a strong female heroine. What's yours, looking beyond Hunger Games?
Well, I would like to speak up for a hugely successful children's book series, His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman,
yeah,
which had a female heroine who, one of the great things about her is that one of her big survival skills is that she's a great liar. And it's also really daring to create a female protagonist who is not morally perfect. I mean, I find that in a way almost more thrilling than you know, the super competent ones that we often see. But I mean, in terms of are you asking me what will be the next sort of YA phenomenon?
Well, actually, I was just asking about what your votes for things that were already written, where you thought this is a heroine who's really getting the job done, who's fulfilling what you want a heroine to be. But I'm also curious about that other question.
Well, nobody knows what the next thing will be, but I think one of the things that we should take note of is that people said that Twilight was the next Harry Potter, even though the two things have so little in common. And then they said that The Hunger Games was the next Twilight, and again, they don't have that much in common, except that they share some fans. And so my guess would be the next thing is something none of us can really anticipate, because it will need to be something reasonably fresh. But yes, I would point to Philip Pullman's character Lyra in His Dark Materials as a character in children's literature who I think he gets just right. I mean, her in real life, sometimes a person, what seem to be a person's flaws, actually turn out to be their greatest strengths, and I really like that aspect of that book.
Yeah, you're right. She is a great character. She's very scrappy, and she's morally ambiguous, and at times you're not sure if you like her.
Yes, and her motivations are complex. She's not just acting out of love or you know, backed into a corner, she has, again, she has desires and she has ambitions and she has a whole identity that's sort of apart from her relationships to other people, which is another thing that is not that common in female characters.
You said you don't know what's coming next. Nobody knows what's coming next. But in terms of what you might like to see in a heroine, is there still room for a heroine that smashes through some remaining glass ceilings and maybe redefines in the broader culture what we will accept a woman lead character to do?
Well, there's all kinds of heroines and all kinds of books. They're just not hugely popular. And that's, you know, I mean, there's every kind of heroine in the world, going all the way back to Becky Sharp in Vanity Fair, who's kind of an anti-heroine. I mean, I don't think that there's anything that completely hasn't been done. It's more that the audience has to be willing to embrace someone like that. And mm-hmm. I think there's still an issue that female leads, like the main female character, has to be likable in a way that, you know, people demand likability to a degree that they really don't from male characters. And people will love male characters who are actually reprehensible people, but they will be much harsher judges of female characters.
Interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That is, it's a huge double standard that kind of limits the amount, the sort of character that an author or a screenwriter feels like they can get away with for a female character. But I would also like to say that, a lot of times some things are held up as like, wow, this, you know, finally we have this female main character. This is a real, you know, bold stride. But in my opinion, a lot of the ones that are truly brilliant are the ones that you never notice. You never are like, wow, that's a woman. The ones that I really enjoy are the ones that I almost think of them as insidious. And Joss Whedon is the king of this. In like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm dating myself a little bit here, but... You know, I've watched the series several times, and I remember it wasn't until the third time through I was watching this episode, and they're trying to solve this problem, and I realized that everyone's sitting around the table trying to, like, prevent the end of the world or whatever it was. You had Buffy, who's, you know, the biggest, toughest person around, two witches, an ex-demon, you know, somebody who has this control of this cosmic power. And then Xander, like the Tolkien guy who's comic relief. But everybody who's worth anything in that episode is a woman. And I never realized it, you know, through watching this several times. And that's really smart. You know, it's not like one of these female characters was held up and trumpeted as Superwoman. It's that they were all great characters. And over the course of the series, they had all developed into people who would take charge of this situation, except for this one guy who was really nice but kind of useless. and that's why Joss Whedon is, like, in some ways, in my opinion, fighting this fight better than anyone else, because if we get enough of those shows out there, enough of these stories out there with these capable women who aren't just capable women, who are just capable people that happen to be women, then eventually people are going to stop asking the silly question of, you know, can you have a female lead? Well, of course you can. The fact that we ask that question shows that there's something really kind of wrong with us.
Mm-hmm. Well put. Well, we're going to leave it there for a bit as we talk with Patrick Rothfuss, bestselling author of the Kingkiller trilogy, including the books The Wise Man's Fear and The Name of the Wind, and Laura Miller, a literary critic and co-founder and staff writer at Salon.com. And I promise we'll get to some of those phone calls in a little bit here. In the meantime, I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What's this program worth to you? What's this program plus Kathleen Dunn plus Talk of the Nation worth to you? I'm Veronica Rickert with Rob Ferret, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, where we ask you to place a value on all of the WPR listening you do throughout the year, and then make a financial contribution in return. Make your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 31 more pledges in the next half an hour. Pledges like yours keep us on track to support the programs you count on. Thanks if you've already given. If not, give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might have found yourself hovering near the radio, drawn into a great discussion. You need to get somewhere, but that discussion is really interesting. You appreciate the guest's knowledge and also the caller's questions and views. Because that's happened to you, you recognize that experience as something that you've lived in your own life. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And new members are very important to Wisconsin Public Radio. A big thank you to all the first-time donors who have pledged so far this hour. The more people who support WPR, the more stable our financial situation, and the better we're able to withstand economic ups and downs.
So if you've never given before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the same strong, reliable station that you depend on. You get to decide the amount, and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When we ask for your support, we are speaking to you. Yes, you.
Don't look over your shoulder. Don't look at your friend or your neighbor or your coworker. You're the one listening right now. You're the one who values this program. You rely on it being right here for you.
You count on us, and we're counting on you. Listener support is what makes this program possible. You're a listener. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A great way to support Wisconsin Public Radio is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll be making a monthly donation right from your bank account, your credit card, or debit card, and your support will automatically renew every year.
And here's the thing. In the long run, the more sustainers we have, the less we'll have to rely on pledge drives like this one to ask for support. So think about becoming a sustaining member of WPR today. It's a great way to support the station you love. Here's how to get started. You can go to WPR.org or give a call at 888-202-2552.
Think about why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and specifically to this program, and give yourself some time to think about it. And then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Because whatever your reason is for listening, it's also the same reason that you have for giving. You get to decide your reason. It might be a personal one, and you decide your amount. And then you have one more choice. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
30 more pledges to go in the next 30 minutes. Make that pledge right now. Help us meet that goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do something great for others and for yourself. You can give $120 or more and request Food for 40 as your thank you gift, helping those in need in your area. And you'll also be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of London and the surrounding area for your pledge of any amount. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Deborah from Black Creek says, "Your high-quality programming has become an important part of my day. Thank you." Deborah says, "Thank you, Deborah. How about you? Is our programming an important part of your day? I bet it is. Make a pledge in support of that programming right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Rob. And we'll go back to our discussion now about heroines and what it takes to make a really great female heroine. And looking at how past women in literature have stacked up in film, we talked a little bit about Harry Potter. And as you know, the Hunger Games movie is coming out, and we'll take a little bit of a listen.
"And so it was decreed that each year the 12 districts of Pen M shall offer up in tribute one young man and woman between the ages of 12 and 18 to be trained in the art of survival and to be prepared to fight to the death.
This is the time to show them everything. Make sure they remember you."
We are joined in a studio in Wausau, that is, with our guest Patrick Rothfuss, a Wisconsin author, best-selling author of the Kingkiller Trilogy. His books include The Wise Man's Fear and The Name of the Wind, and a third, which is going to be published in the future. And Laura Miller is joining us as well, co-founder and staff writer of Salon.com. And Laura and Pat, you know, we were talking a little bit before we left, Pat, about how, you know, Good characters are just good characters. You don't have to identify them as women and say, what a great female character. She's just a great character. But I wonder, Laura, from your perspective, as someone who came down kind of hard on Bella Swan for being just way too wimpy and passive and wanting this old-fashioned notion of romance, can we still do damage with female characters who aren't making the cut?
Well, I don't know. I guess that kind of depends on your attitude towards readers. I mean, it's possible that there are young, super naive and impressionable young women who read the Twilight novels, and which are essentially like a kind of romance novel, and think, okay, this is what love should be. But, you know, you can't just assume that they are. And they may be having, you know, they may also be watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer or reading The Hunger Games. And they may be perfectly capable of weighing those different views of girlhood against each other. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't want to presume that all readers are so naive that you know, you expose them to a certain kind of story and they can't tell that it's just a fantasy, or they can't see what the problem is with it. And a lot of the Twilight fans Bella is not why they came to the dance. I mean, they don't really care about her, and they don't even really like her in a lot of cases. They're there because they're really into the guy.
I was about to say, that's me, and then you got to the guy part. I read those books, the Twilight books, for the story, but the same is true of The Hunger Games. It's that crack in plot that Patrick was talking about that keeps propelling you forward, even though there are areas of those books that are, you know, and intended to be sort of morally repellent. They're hard to read, but, you know, I guess you're right. People read books for very complex reasons.
Including young people. I think that we sort of know that about adults, but we sort of assume that young people have no critical faculties whatsoever, which I think is not really fair to them.
Well, let's take a phone call now. We've got Abigail joining us from Madison. Hi, Abigail.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead.
Hi. I thanks for taking my call, and I want to say, this is to Patrick, I've read both The Name of the Wind and The Wise Man's Fear, and I just love them.
Thank you so much
for writing them. And I have to ask you this, although I feel like the odds aren't good I'm going to get a great answer because you laughed when this topic was brought up. But can you tell us when the next one's coming out, or no?
I cannot. Not because I'm being cagey, but because we do not have a publication date yet.
Okay.
How about a ballpark figure, Patrick? A ballpark date?
Somewhere within the next 100 years.
Okay. Thank you for narrowing it down. well, I'm with you, Abigail. I'm eagerly awaiting that third book. So did you have any thoughts about the women in Patrick's books, Abigail?
I like the women a lot in Patrick's books. And you already discussed Denna a little bit, and she is an interesting, as you said, complex character. But there's a lot of other really interesting women in the book. I think of Quoth's mother, and I think of, you know, Devi, and I think of all the women who have taught Quoth things throughout the books. And so I really like Patrick's way of creating women characters that are, you know, complex, and as Patrick said, not just likable necessarily, and they're all struggling with things. And the other thing I guess I would mention is another author I was thinking about when you guys were discussing heroines was Ken Follett, and I think he does a nice job of creating very strong female characters as well. I think of Pillars of the Earth and Aliana and characters that are just very, and part of the reason that I think they're good is because they do have a lot of characteristics that often people think of as male, you know, being very good in business or being very strong, and so I like the fact that he incorporates them into his female characters in a way that I think is very realistic. So but Patrick, thank you so much for your work, and I guess we will just wait.
I promise to not keep you waiting any longer than I absolutely have to.
All right. Well, thank you for that. We're going to hold you to your word. And Patrick, anything else you want to say about the women in your book?
Well, you know, it was brought up before, you know, where a lot of times we get a female character who is, you know, possessed of characteristics which are typically considered, you know, male characteristics, where like a capacity for violence or you know things like that. And in some ways, you would think if women are normally portrayed as being passive, you know, you have damsels in distress or whatever, then, you know, it would seem like the way to fix that would be to simply reverse all of that and make If you have a Conan character, then you just make a female Conan. Mm-hmm. And there, that takes care of sexism. But, you know, it's really – I mean, that might be a step in a direction, but I don't think it's necessarily the solution. You can have, you know, good, strong female characters which are also mostly possessed of characteristics that we view as female. You know, it's not a simple thing in any stretch of the imagination. There's no good right way to do it. But I do think there are some dangerous ways to do it. If you're not careful enough, things slide into your writing that, you know, and I tend to hold writers very accountable for these things because, you know, you're right, Laura. It's wrong to assume that kids don't have critical faculties of their own. But also, you know, the younger you are, the less filters you have.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you know, a couple of days ago, I told my little boy about Santa Claus, you know, and he believed me because he has no choice at this point in his life. And eventually, you know, I mean, right now he watches movies, not many. I try to ride the brake on that, but we read him picture books. And in some of these books, if the only females he sees in these books are like swooning princesses, you can't tell me that's not going to have an impact on his perception of women.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am conflicted. You're right. You got to trust your readers to be smart. But I also think you have to be careful to effectively, as an author, I feel responsible for providing stories which are not merely non-poisonous. You know, that also hopefully have something nutritious psychologically and culturally in them, as long as I can do that without sacrificing the story itself. I tend to overthink things a little bit, if you can't tell.
Now, I'm right there with you. I was thinking about, as you were talking about reading your son's stories, about how we got a Max and Ruby compilation. Now, these are children's picture books about rabbits, a little brother and sister. And what the first story was about Max trying to put on lipstick like his sister and dressing up. And all the girls were doing was putting on lots of makeup so that they looked kind of appalling for rabbits and for women. And I literally took the book and I tore that story out of it. I was disgusted. But I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it like you are. I mean, but books do have power.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
I think there's a difference between books for really young children who are just learning what the gender roles are and a teenager who has, you know, is in more of a position to be skeptical about what they're told and shown. You know, when you're talking about someone who's 4 or 5 years old, yes, they'll believe whatever you tell them. So yeah. You do have to be careful.
One of the interesting things, you know, that again, like I said, I overthink this. I ran into some studies that talked about what makes humans' brains actually different from other mammals' brains. And everybody talks about monkey see, monkey do. You know, and humans are really good at modeling behavior. We see something and we know how to do it without having to, like, actually learn the experience ourselves. But one of the other things, I mean, and this is because we have like way more mirror neurons in our brains than other animals. But I think that it's not just an issue of visually seeing things, although that's very powerful. That's how we're wired biologically. We see something and we understand it. But, you know, also, I think we learn from narrative, just the shape of stories. We learn that, you know, there's a great book called The Witch Must Die. We know from these stories that bad people are supposed to get it in the end. Now, what does it mean that usually the bad person is a mother-in-law? Well, I don't know. But, you know, it's a very complicated subject.
Well, and that's one argument for fiction in general is that it's practice for life. If you read a book where people are struggling about death and morality, it's so you can get a little bit of practice and your brain can kind of go through those paces along with the people you're reading about.
Yeah. And C.K. Chesterton said it so much better than I ever can. He said the purpose of fairy tales isn't to tell us that there are dragons. It's to tell us that dragons can be beaten.
Mm.
And that's like one of the best things that this fantastic literature does. It's not saying, hey, girls, learn how to shoot a bow and overthrow the government. It's saying that, you know, if you're put in a bad situation, you can fight and do something about it.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get to one more phone call here. Rebecca from Dundee. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I am so happy to be on this show. Patrick, I am blown away by your writing.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I'm a Stevens Point alumni, so you're even near and dear to my heart. I was introduced to your books by a librarian who just told me I had to read them, and I did not read science fiction at the time. Well, or fantasy. And I just want to tell you, because I so agree with everything you guys were just talking about. I appreciate so much that the females in your book are not ruled by sex in their identity. And the comment you guys were just making about how young children, like the children you have in your house, Patrick, right now, how impressionable they are. But I have teenagers, and their whole goal in life is to be who they see around them, who they see in TV, who they have in school. And just the fact that you break the mold and don't sell out to sell books by making sex a central part. My teenage daughter, we haven't had TV for like 10 years because I'm so appalled by it. And I let her read a Twilight book, and she was disgusted. That it's all about sex, and it's all about romance and love, and she's like, that's not who I am, but that's not the typical teenage girl.
Have you read the second one? There is a little bit of sex in there.
That's kind of what I was going to say.
Well, but it's not the defining. It's not. Oh yes, I've read your books more than once.
Okay, well, cool. So long as you've read the second one and you were cool with that too, I'm glad that that didn't come across as too much for you. I was worried about that as I was writing it because I do know I have some younger readers and sex is a very touchy thing. Not intended there.
Moving on. We have an email here, and oh, thank you so much, Rebecca, for the call. Aaliyah says, my favorite female lead would be Ripley from Alien. Katniss is decent, but the books dissolve into a silly teenage love triangle that loses my interest by the end. What do you think about that comment, Laura Miller?
Well, I don't agree about the love triangle aspect becoming the main focus towards the end. I think that her sort of, Katniss has to sort of save the world, but on the other hand, she doesn't really want to be a political person. She's kind of elbowed into that by circumstances, and so she's very ambivalent about being a leader, which is the thing that I guess I find a little bit troubling about the book, because it's almost like the only way there is the idea that the only way that you can be a good leader is if you don't really want to be a leader, but I don't know if I actually agree with that. I would not say for me the whole thing becomes focused on the love triangle. It's always kind of focused on overthrowing the corrupt authority. But, but definitely there are people who, there are readers for whom that is the primary interest that they have in the story. Definitely.
Well, we are out of time. We have to leave it there. But Patrick and Laura, thank you so much. It's been a really fun to talk with both of you this hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
Patrick Rothfuss, bestselling author of the Kingkiller Trilogy, joining us from the studio in Wausau. His books include The Wise Man's Fear and The Name of the Wind, and Laura Miller, a literary critic and co-founder and staff writer of Salon.com. I'm Veronica Rickert with Rob Ferret, and Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. This is our spring membership drive. Listener donations are the foundation of our budget, and that's why we're asking for your gift right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We'll go into our break in just a moment, and we'll give you more reasons to pledge, but think about how much you've enjoyed this conversation this last hour and make a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Veronica Rickert with Rob Ferret. You've been enjoying the conversation about strong female heroines in film and literature. We'll now take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, everyone who pledges this drive will be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour to England. You could be a lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you don't have to pledge to participate. You could send a postcard with your name, address, and telephone number to WPR England Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And pledge in any amount to support the great programming you hear with Veronica Rickert and all the other great shows here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make that pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are sometimes I'm listening to part of a show, especially when I'm in my car, and then I will go home and listen to it online so that I can hear the whole thing, because I didn't get a chance to hear the whole thing, and I appreciate that ability also. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Veronica Rickert with Rob Ferret. We're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe your gift is $50 or $100, or maybe you can afford $500. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, engaging content, and entertainment. Your gift supports that connection for you and for others across the state. Leadership gifts of $1,200 and more are increasingly important to our continued success. If you can make a gift at a leadership level, visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your gift of any amount is greatly appreciated.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from this program and also from Joy Cardine's Orbit Pastor on Your Health and Car Talk and many others that you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window to the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of programs you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 28 more pledges in the next about 6 minutes or so. And just as by way of inspiration, I should have asked him about this while he was on the air with us, but Patrick Rothfuss, when he did an interview earlier, mentioned that when he got the first checks for his books, the Kingkiller trilogy, and he finally had some money in his pockets, he realized when he was listening to a pledge drive, oh my gosh, they're talking to me and I can make a pledge. And he pulled off the road and made his pledge that minute. So if that's you, if you have that moment where you realize, yeah, I can make a pledge right now and this is something finally I can do and step up, that's great. Do what Patrick did and support Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you remember listening to WPR as a child, or maybe your kids really enjoy certain programs.
Whether it's an interesting story on NPR News, a piece of classical music, or laughing along with the weekday shows, WPR caught your imagination as a child, and it engages the minds of children today. If it's on in the house in the background, your kids are growing up with Wisconsin Public Radio, and it's going to change who they are and how they think.
That is a powerful thing, and you make it all possible when you participate as a member. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do two good things at once. Make a $120 donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's $10 a month. And select food for 40 as your thank you gifts. Your thank you gift will be in the form of 40 meals for those facing hunger via a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Pledge any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And for $120, you can select food for 40 as your thank you gift.
Your pledge of support is our bread and butter. It sustains us and it keeps us healthy. You turn on your radio every day and you can enjoy great programs.
And it's not possible without your help. Donate right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you in advance for making this program and many other WPR programs possible.
Just a few more minutes to hit our goal this hour. Make your voice heard. Let us know that this program is important to you. Vote with your wallet. These are all ways of saying make your pledge now to Wisconsin Public Radio. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, we are looking for 26 more pledges in about the next 3 minutes, and my grandpa can only make so many of them. So thank you if you've already given. We really and truly do appreciate every pledge. If not, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And three more just came in while you were talking there, Veronica. Thank you for your pledge. You have a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make it a habit of donating. Pledge your support today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a good habit. It's a habit that you can be proud of. And we know that people feel good about it because once they start contributing, they continue to do it because they find that it feels good. Well, get it started today with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Two great hours of conversation with Veronica today. I thought they were wonderful. I know you're listening because you thought they were wonderful, too. What's it worth to you? We can't do it without your financial support. You can make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make it simple. Boil it down to that one piece of conversation or news that really caught your ear, that changed your mind, that inspired you, and pledge for that one piece of information or inspiration. Make your pledge. Support Wisconsin Public Radio. Do something you'll feel good about at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.